This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. Susie.
To all our irreverent listeners. And hey, contrary to Fox TV, there is no war on Christmas, but we will be lobbing a few softballs at this time of year.
Some soft snowballs this time
of year. Snowballs. Whatever. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio, your weekly antidote to the religious right domination of our airwaves. We provide irreverent news, views, music, and interviews.
With emphasis on irreverent. And I'm Dan Barker, and welcome to all you listeners, old and new, and this weekend we have a lot of new listeners, and we'll tell you about a special offer just for you. I'm your friendly neighborhood atheist, and this is the weekend of December 4th and 5th, 2010. Now, if you are listening to the show and you are a true believer, I want you to know that I used to be where you are now. But after 19 years of preaching, I started examining the facts, the claims of my faith, and what I like to say is I just lost faith in faith.
And so if you want to learn more about Dan Barker's migration from missionary to atheist, you can read, you've got two books, Dan, Losing Faith in Faith, From Preacher to Atheist and Godless, and you can look those up at ffrf.org.
It's called Godless, How an Evangelical Preacher Became One of America's Leading Atheists.
Free Thought Radio is broadcasting Madison, Wisconsin, and we're broadcasting on about 35 stations around the country and podcasting.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. FFRF is an educational charity. We are the largest national association of free thinkers, and that means atheists, agnostics, and other skeptics who use only reason in forming our opinions about religion. We have more than 16,600 supporters. We educate, we broadcast. We're also a state church watchdog. We litigate to keep religion out of government. We publish a 24-page newspaper 10 times a year. It's called Free Thought Today, full of lots of news that we don't have time to report here on Free Thought Radio.
So if you're listening to Free Thought Radio and you want to get a complimentary subscription, we're offering a complimentary 3-month subscription to Free Thought Today.
To new members or new subscribers?
To new listeners. If you go to radio.ffrf.org, radio.ffrf.org, fill in the call numbers of the radio station you're listening to, and you'll get your first issue of Free Thought Today in the mail this month.
On today's show, we have two guests. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk with a Hawaiian FFRF member and a state church separation activist. His name is Mitch Kale. About what happened to him, and you won't believe this, when he stood up and objected to legislative prayer.
On the second half of Free Thought Radio, for a little seasonal discussion, we'll have Stephanie Myers, not the Stephanie Myers of Twilight, but an editor of a new book called The Atheist's Guide to Christmas, and we'll play also a little irreverent Christmas music, too, to get us all in the right mood.
But before we bring on our first guest, Mitch Kale, we have a news clip about his story, about what happened to him when he objected to unconstitutional sectarian prayers to Jesus to open the Hawaii Senate.
7 months after he was hauled off in handcuffs and charged with disorderly conduct, a judge has found Kale not guilty. But the story doesn't end there. Brooks Baer has a report you'll see only on Hawaii News Now. Brooks?
Keahi, Mitch Kale contends our state legislature has been violating both the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution by praying during official business. And when lawmakers ignored his request to stop, he staged a brief but perhaps very effective protest.
When Senate President Pauline Hanabusa pounded the gavel and introduced a reverend to deliver the daily invocation, Kale was waiting.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love for us and the opportunity to be in this place.
My name is Mitch Gale. I object to this prayer on the grounds that it's a violation of the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. I object.
Kale's protest lasted about 7 seconds. Then he stopped talking and sat down. But the sergeant at arms was determined to remove Kale. When he resisted, he was forcefully removed and roughed up.
And then what they did is add insult to injury. They arrested him for disorderly conduct. And their disorderly conduct was allegedly based upon his standing up in the Senate chambers and voicing his opinion. He is a U.S. citizen and a Hawaii citizen, have a right to do.
After watching video of the arrest, Kale's attorney, William Harrison, was sure his client would be acquitted. And he was right. District Judge Leslie Hayashi needed less than an hour to find Kale not guilty.
Number one, there's no disorderly conduct. Number two, he has a First Amendment right to speak in a public forum, such as he did. And number three, the legislature was violating our U.S. Constitution as well as the Hawaii Constitution by having these invocations.
Harrison thinks this case may be enough to convince lawmakers to stop saying prayers during official state business.
They make the law for the state, so they should recognize and understand what our Constitution says. And in fact, the court did express very much her concerns about what went on with regard to invocations in its public forums. And so the legislature, the city council, any other public entity on public property should be concerned and should heed the warning of this court in its ruling.
Last April, Kale asked the Honolulu City Council to stop praying at its meetings, and it did. But Todd Apo has stepped down as council chair, and Kale says the prayer returned this past Monday under new chairman Nestor Garcia. I'm Brooks Baer for Hawaii News Now.
Mitch is president of Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of Church and State, and last Tuesday, right after he was acquitted of disorderly conduct, he filed a civil lawsuit against the state of Hawaii and the Senate staff.
So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Mitch.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Boy, what a story you have. I saw some of the video clip of that. You were very polite and you sat down, and yet here come these big, what are they, guards, Capitol Police, to rough you up and drag you out of there like you were a criminal. So tell us
A nonviolent, peaceful objection to a violation of my civil rights was met with extreme violence.
And people who couldn't see this footage, one of them was like a bouncer, wasn't he? He had been a boxer or something?
Well, the sergeant-at-arms of the Senate in the state of Hawaii is a former professional boxer. He was the WBA world champion for a number of years, and so he is a professional boxer.
So no wonder you sat down.
So they kind of dragged you out after the prayer was over. It was a great big Christian prayer, and you just had the 7-second
protest,
right? What did you say exactly?
And as a matter of fact, I had been complaining to the president of the Senate for a long time via email and phone calls to her office about the fact that they were essentially forcing everybody who wants to participate in government to be subjected to a mini church service. It's not always just a prayer. Sometimes it's overt proselytizing, including one of the bills that's before our legislature here is to give civil unions or sort of the step towards same-sex marriage. And yet they allow ministers to come in and give this invocation where they pronounce that God made one man and one woman and didn't make Adam and Steve right from the pulpit, from the podium of the state Senate. Wow. And so I have objected to this for years, and so finally I'd had enough, and I sent the Senate president 3 consecutive emails warning her that if they did it again, that I was planning to come and make a simple objection statement. And I even told her exactly what I was going to say, quoted right in my email.
Well, and tell us again what you said.
I said, and this is exactly, I said, I object. My name is Mitch Kale. I object to this prayer on the grounds that it violates my rights under the Constitution of the United States. And I sat down. One simple statement.
And then he went on for about 2 minutes giving a very, very sectarian prayer. And it said, in the name of Jesus. And then there was a huge, they screamed, amen.
Well, you might not have heard it might have been difficult to hear, but on the opposite side of the room, my wife, Holly, was standing. And as soon as he said, in the name of Jesus, if you listen to the clip closely, you will hear her stand up and say, I object. My name is Holly Huber.
Huh.
And as soon as she started to say her objection, because the minister was done, everybody shouted their amens and jeered at her.
Yeah, it
now,
was
while that
very...
was happening, I'm being dragged out.
And then they had you down on the ground tussling outside. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. Free Thought Radio. We'll be right back to talk some more with Hawaii State Church separation activist Mitch Kale about what happened to him when he protested prayer, why it's wrong, and how he got treated in Hawaii for standing up to it.
Hi, my name's Fred from Springfield, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio. I think that's great.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. This show is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. You can find us online at ffrf.org. Annie Laurie and I are co-directors of FFRF. If you would like a free 3-month trial subscription to FFRF's newspaper, Free Thought Today, just go to radio.fffrf.org. And fill in the call numbers and tell us what radio station you are listening to, and we will start your complimentary subscription right now.
We are talking with Mitch Kale, a member of FFRF, and he is president of Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of Church and State. If you missed the first part of the interview, Mitch, you got roughed up for standing up and objecting politely to unconstitutional prayer at the Senate in Hawaii, and you were charged with what?
I was actually charged with 3 criminal offenses, misdemeanors. I was charged with obstructing government operations. I was charged with resisting arrest, and I was charged with disorderly conduct. I was taken, because I was arrested on state property, I was taken to Halaba Prison, where I was actually put in a cell with a criminal, nice gentleman, actually, but he'd been in prison for 17 years, and I remained in that cell for a little over an hour before my wife came and bailed me out.
It's, I mean, there's video of you being wrestled to the ground by a former boxer, and so you got manhandled, and so you just got acquitted, right?
I did. I had to get a defense attorney, and we went. It took 6 months of motions and going back and forth, and finally appearing at trial. And the judge was very favorable to our disposition. She acquitted me on all charges. And made a rather startling statement from the bench. And when she proclaimed that she had seen the video, she watched the same video that you did, and she proclaimed right from the bench that the Senate prayers were a violation of the constitutional separation of state and church, and I was entirely justified in objecting.
Wow.
I think what you did is what makes America such a great country, that we do have the freedom to petition the government, to complain, to protest, to challenge violations of the Constitution by our own government.
Well, and we're talking about this today on a very historic day. It was 55 years ago today that Rosa Parks stood up and refused to go to the back of the bus.
There you go.
And I have to say that, not comparing myself to a great hero like Rosa Parks, I'm just saying that this case is exactly the same. The government is violating our civil rights, and we have a right to challenge them. And so refusing to go to the back of the bus is exactly what I did by standing up and saying, I don't have to listen to this Christian prayer.
Now, earlier this week, right after you got acquitted, then you've taken action. You filed a civil lawsuit, and briefly, what is that about?
Well, the civil lawsuit came about because while we were being assaulted, members of the sheriff department just stood by and watched. They didn't act on their duty to protect citizens. And so we were attacked, and essentially the police did not do anything about it. Also, our attackers were allowed to go free. They weren't disciplined in any way. And I was arrested. My camera was destroyed. My cameraman friend Kevin was more brutally attacked than me and had to go to the hospital, and he's run up considerable medical bills.
What happened to him?
Well, he was really assaulted in kind of a gang-style attack. If you look at the very last bit of the video, after the sergeant-at-arms says, get that camera, you can see that all of them attack him at the same time. And he was brutally punched and kicked and savaged because they wanted to destroy the camera, because Kevin had videotaped the sergeant-at-arms roughing me up and shoving me down on the ground.
And did he break bones or injuries?
No, well, he thought he did. He thought he had broken ribs. He had to go to the hospital. He had bruised ribs. He had to have x-rays. He had to have medical treatment for, you know, he had a headache. His lip was cut and bleeding all over. The physical injuries are not long-term, but the psychological ones are. This was Kevin's very first time ever going to any kind of a protest.
So you filed a lawsuit against the state and the Senate for kind of manhandling both of you. Is that right?
Right, and against all the individuals, both in their individual and their official capacities. So the lawsuit goes really quite deep, and anybody who wants to read it can read the entire complaint. It's online at our website.
I think.
So, what's your website?
Well, if anybody just wants to Google the letters HCSSC, that stands for Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of State and Church, or you can just Google my name, Mitch Kahle, K-A-H-L-E, and it'll take you right to it.
I think the pastor should have been escorted out of there in handcuffs. He was the one breaking the law.
Right, the Baptist pastor who was amening and praising Jesus. Now, we only have 3 minutes left. Tell us briefly about the state of separation of church and state in Hawaii, which I was telling you during the break, I imagine as being a secular paradise. And you are saying it is the least religious of the states. But so why do we still have all this religion in Hawaii?
Well, obviously, you know, our state was controlled by missionaries. When the missionaries first came here, they outlawed hula. They outlawed the Hawaiian language. They wouldn't allow Hawaiians to surf. And you've probably seen pictures of Hawaiians in these wool suits from Massachusetts. They wouldn't allow them to run around naked, of course, which is what we'd all prefer. So they really took over and dominated. And it wasn't until statehood, that, which we are the 50th state, that Hawaii had to, by mandate of the Constitution, become secularized. And fortunately for us is that Christians are a minority. I'm looking at a table right now published by the state of Hawaii that Christians are actually only 28% of Hawaii residents.
Really?
We have another 9% that are Buddhist, we have some Jews, and then we have another 10% that's other. The vast majority, 52%, are unaffiliated with any religion.
Wow.
And so it makes it even more egregious, not that it should matter. I mean, I don't care if you're in Texas or in Hawaii, we shouldn't have Christian prayers as the price of participating in government. You should not be forced to go to church. I think that here it's even more egregious because most of the people are going to be people who are not affiliated with the Christian religion. So you're offending a far larger percentage
right.
of our public.
And so why are the Christian theocrats allowed to dominate when they're a minority and they still manage to dominate?
Well, I think it comes down, of course, the Christians have a lot of money. I mean, the Catholic Church is still a huge presence here in Hawaii. They own unbelievably huge tracts of land. The missionaries basically came here and stole the land. And so you have lots of these missionary families that even though they're not in power anymore, they still have all the money. And so that's really what it comes down to is money. And they can buy the political favors, they can buy their political positions, and Hawaii is not immune to that.
Yeah, but the Constitution is not for sale. Thank you so much, Mitch.
Yeah, congratulations for getting acquitted and for standing up for your rights and standing up for the Constitution.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. Coming up, One Atheist's View of Christmas. We're going to talk about atheists and agnostics during this season in December when it sometimes seems like the whole month belongs to Christianity, but that's not true. We'll be talking with Stephanie Myers.
Her book is called, she's the editor of the book called The Atheist's Guide to Christmas, a lighthearted look at what do atheists do this time of year. So stay tuned.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker.
And if you would like a free 3-month subscription to our newspaper, Free Thought Today, published by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, go to radio.ffrf.org and tell us what station you're listening to, the call letters or the frequency of the station, and we'll send that to you right away. Today, we're going to talk with one of the editors of the brand new book. It's called The Atheist's Guide to Christmas. Stephanie Myers, along with Robin Harvey, are co-editors of the book, and we have Stephanie on the phone today. But as a prelude, first, we want to play a song, which is one atheist's view of Christmas. The song is called White Wine in the Sun. It's by Tim Minchin.
This ballad was recorded by the English rocker Tim Minchin for a charity holiday album, and now some Christians in Australia are having a fit over it. So we thought it would be fun to play it as a good way to introduce some of the themes that come up in The Atheist's Guide to Christmas.
I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it. I am hardly religious. I'd rather break bread with Dawkins than Desmond Tutu, to be honest. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to consumerism, to the commercialization of an ancient religion, to the westernization of a dead Palestinian press ganged into selling PlayStations and beer. But I still really like it. I'm looking forward to Christmas, though I'm not expecting a visit from Jesus. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mom. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mom. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I don't go in for ancient wisdom. I don't believe just 'cause ideas are tenacious, it means that they're worthy. I get freaked out by churches. Some of the hymns that they sing have nice chords, but the lyrics are spooky. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to the miseducation of children who in tax-exempt institutions are taught to externalize blame and to feel ashamed and to judge things as plain right or wrong. But I quite like the song.
And that is the British rocker Tim Minchin.
And I wish everybody could see Brian Trevani's big smile.
Listening to those words.
You enjoyed that song, right, Brian?
He donated that song to charity as a fundraiser, and then some religious people complained. What were you going to say, Brian?
Well, no, I really got a kick out of the spooky chorus parts of the religious songs.
He likes true. The chords and spooky lyrics. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, this song fits perfectly with our next guest, Stephanie Myers, and no, not that Stephanie Meyer of, what is that,
the Twilight
Group, but Stephanie Myers.
She's Mormon.
an editor of a brand new book. It's called The Atheist's Guide to Christmas. Stephanie is a book editor, and on the back of the book it says, she's an avid believer in receiving presents, decorating trees, and making the most of post-holiday sales. She lives in New York City. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that song kind of fits in with your book, doesn't it?
It does. It fits in perfectly.
Like he wrote it for you.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks to him. It's so interesting listening to the controversy about this, though, because, considering where Christmas came from originally and how long it's been a holiday before it was Christmas.
It kind of drew it influence. How did you get involved in this project?
This actually originated over in the UK with the Atheist Bus campaign that happened in 2008.
Yes, we talked about that on the show.
Yeah, so, they were raising money to put a counter ad on buses saying there's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life. And the idea for this book just sort of naturally came from that.
So tell us, who are some of the contributors? I see Richard Dawkins on here. Who are some of the other contributors? There's 42 essays, right?
There are actually 40 essays and 42 contributors. There are a couple that are co-written.
Okay.
So, but there's a lot of great people in here and some better known names and some newer people in the atheist world. So there's Phil Plait, Neil Pollack, Simon Singh, Simon LeBon, A.C. Grayling. Jennifer McCrate is a younger atheist voice here in the U.S., and she's one of the ones I'm really excited about in this, especially as a voice for, she's a grad student now, so it's fun to get a range of contributors here. And they really span from comedians to scientists really a variety of people coming from a variety of places.
But I noticed the book is really lighthearted. It's a fun read. Most of them are memories and even some jokes and some short stories in that. A little bit of science, a little bit of philosophy, but really a nice kind of fun thing to read about what we non-believers do at this time of the year.
You know, it's funny, but basically everybody really loves Christmas, even people who are non-religious. And well, I think that's the one biggest takeaway is, you know, Christmas is pretty much great.
Well, I know some people who don't like it.
That's not true. There's one essay about how to escape from Christmas.
Well, and then
one of the people who does not like it.
And then, you know, Tom Flynn, his book about, he's one of the Scrooges. There are a few Scrooges in the atheist and agnostic movement.
Well, and Dan who starts getting gets this sort of sickening look on his face when the Christmas songs started in Halloween.
That's true, but hey, maybe we just need more Christmas songs like this one.
Yeah.
Now, there is a significance to this number 42. Do you want to explain it? 42
yes,
contributors?
Of course. Does it? I hope it shouldn't need too much explanation, but for everyone who's read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, 42 is the answer to life, the universe, and to everything.
That's Doug Adams, who was a good friend of Richard Dawkins and died too young. And you quote him in the book. His quote is, "Isn't it enough to see that a garden is beautiful without having to believe that there are fairies at the bottom of it, too?" So did you have a choice in some of these? Did you pick some of these quotes that you start the book with?
I personally did not. That was actually done by my co-editor, Robin.
And he's over in London, right?
He is in London.
And how did you find the contributors?
Ariane Shireen, who was really the force behind the London bus campaign, was first responsible for putting a lot of these connections together. And then we just did some research on new voices writing in atheism to kind of fill it out.
And Ariane, is she the young woman that did a lot of the press about it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She
so she's still really active.
I think so.
And
I haven't, again, been in touch with her directly. That's Robin's side of the pond.
And is it true that some of the profits go to, it's a charity in the UK?
Yes, Terence Higgins Trust, which is the UK's leading HIV and sexual health charity.
So even if you buy the book in the United States, some of your money will go toward a charity?
Yes, all of the contributors have donated their portion of the royalties.
And it's affordable. It's a Harper perennial paperback, so quite affordable. This book would make a great stocking stuffer for those who stuff stockings.
And it's Harper perennial. We are talking with one of the co-editors of The Atheist's Guide to Christmas, Stephanie Myers, and we're going to be back to talk more about what do atheists do during Christmas, what are these attitudes,
what presents do you buy for an atheist at Christmas?
Besides,
so stay
this
tuned.
Book.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and stay tuned for more of Free Thought Radio.
My name is Frederick from Park Ridge, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, and we're back. I'm here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we have on the phone with us from New York City, Stephanie Myers, who's one of the editors of this brand new book for Christmas. And yes, many atheists and agnostics do celebrate Christmas. The book is called...
Secular. I mean, a lot of them just call it winter solstice.
Yeah, well, they...
Or the new year.
Okay, but they celebrate...
They celebrate the season.
They celebrate the solstice. The book is called The Atheist's Guide to Christmas. It has 42 contributors, 40 essays, including Richard Dawkins and Neil Pollack and A.C. Grayling and many others. And welcome back to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Oh, Dan, you were going to read some of the cute titles from the anthology.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Here in the table, well, there's 40 of them, but some of these are How to Have the Perfect Jewish Christmas, How to Have a Peaceful Pagan Christmas, How to Escape from Christmas, Jennifer McCrae's Gifts for the Godless, and that includes a secular feminist Barbie doll, If God Existed, Would He Have a Sense of Humor, Unsilent Night, Imagine There's a Heaven, Jamie Kilstein, and I met Jamie once. He's a stand-up comic. He's funny. His article is, Stay Away from My Goddamn Presence. And then Paul Krasner's article, There Are No Atheists in the White House, and about 30 more.
So, Stephanie, what is your background? How did you find your way to Free Thought?
You know, I grew up in a secular Jewish household, which I know I think many of us do. And we sort of just generally celebrated every holiday that sounded fun. So Hanukkah, Christmas, we actually, you know, we always had Easter baskets, although I don't think that I realized that there was anything to Easter other than a bunny and chocolate.
Yeah, well, I grew up the same way in an atheist agnostic household. So, you know, when our daughter was young, we called it spring, but when I was little... Mm-hmm. Because most of these are pagan in origin. The winter solstice is the reason for the season. The spring equinox is the reason for Easter. So, you know, it's all these pagan things that get taken over by religion. So were you always an atheist, or did you actually have to think your way out of it?